Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to John chapter 1 as we continue our study of the book of John. While you're turning, I want to remind you that we have the baby bottles on the back table to take home with you. How long do we get to keep them, Rachel?
I'd say sometime at the end of April.
Okay. Anyway, for those of you who haven't done this before, we take the bottles, fill them with pocket change. New Life Pregnancy Center then uses that money to help them in their work over there. And it's just a great organization. They do a lot of good in counseling young pregnant girls on the options out there instead of abortion, taking them to showing them about adoption, about raising the child. They just really work hard in this community, and it's a great organization. So grab a baby bottle, take it home, throw your pocket change in it for a while, and then bring it back. It's the last time we did it, we filled, I think, 20 bottles, so it really works good. John chapter 1, we're going down to start in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He come into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Pray with me, please. Father, this morning, help us, Lord, to get excited about the light that came into the world. How this light revealed all things to us, and may we be living in that light and holding to that light. Lord, let us get excited that you chose this world in its darkness to send that light to. Now, Father, you've reached down among us, provided us an opportunity, the chance to do the right thing, to find your righteousness, Lord, to revel in the glory that's to come, that we might someday truly live in the brightness of the glory of the Son of God. In thy name we pray. Amen. We started the study of the book of John last week, same passage as we read last week. I pointed out to you that John identified three things about Jesus in these 18 verses. That he was the Word of God, that he was light, and that he was life. And last week we studied the Word of God. This week we're going to look at light and life and how that pertains to us and what it means to us in this world. As I told you, the book of John many times is considered to be the simple gospel, when really and truly for believers it's probably the deepest of all the gospels. It deals specifically with the deity of Jesus Christ, telling us he was God, and that we have no doubt that he was God. John doesn't really take on too many of Christ's miracles. He deals more with Christ's deity, and some of the stories he does tell us about a couple of miracles that aren't recorded in any other gospel. John also has the seven I am's in here, that Christ made proclamations that I am. And today as we look at what light is, let's take the time to see what it means to our lives. You know, Christ held several names here on earth. He was called the Son of Man, Son of God, Christ, Messiah, Teacher, Master, Lord, and Savior. Today we look at him as the light of the world. And what is light? If we look in this passage, two words stand out, light and life. Light is the word zoe, which literally means, it's where we get our term zoology from, the study of life. So life there is the word zoe. The other word, light, is the word phos or phos, which we get the word photograph, or anything that has to do with light or illumination comes from that base word in the Greek. So what John is saying here is that Jesus Christ was life in itself, and that Jesus Christ is that which illuminates life and brings knowledge of life to men. Now, last week we closed in verse 18, which says Jesus, being the Son of God, hath declared him in the bosom of God. He's the only one that's ever seen God, that he declared him. Well, this week you've got to get a hold of the fact that as the light of the world, as he came in the world, his revelation of God, his revealing of God, showed us who God was. See, the world was in darkness until Jesus Christ came. We living today have a hard time of visualizing a world that had no options, or no options they understood. Prior to Christ's coming, this world revolved around the top 10, the Ten Commandments, and all that law that man was supposed to obey. So man walked in utter darkness because law does not provide light. Understand that. Law gives you instruction, but law does not give you the why of instruction, the fulfillment of instruction. You obey the law, you know what you get? You get that little satisfaction that says, well, I did what I was supposed to. But you have no feeling of accomplishment. There's no fulfillment there. Law does not provide light. Light does three things. Light illuminates darkness. It bursts on the scene. It takes darkness away. Light gives us a path to walk. If we follow the light, we walk in the right direction. Light also provides comfort. Now, any of you that have ever been scared of the dark knows how good it is to turn on a light in the middle of the night. Get rid of that fear. I know none of you guys have ever been scared of the dark, so I'm just talking to the ladies here. Light is what we count on most in this world. If you go back to the creation, God separated darkness with light. He brought a great light into the world. Well, now there's burst on the scene some 2,000 years ago the true light of God that revealed who God was to man. That's what Jesus did. Verse 18 says, he declared God. Well, his light revealed God. See, the Old Testament saints, unless they were being moved upon by the Holy Spirit, they could not have any comprehension of God. We know Moses up on Mount Sinai, when he was given the law, Moses glimpsed the backside of God. God pushed him back in a crevice in the rock, and it still illuminated Moses. He's still glowing when he came down from the mountain. The glory of God is too intense for man to behold. But Jesus Christ, when he came, his light cleared away the darkness and told man who God was and what God really wanted. Now, do you think God really wanted all those laws he poured out in those three books? Do you think it was important to him that man follow all those laws? Was that what God really wanted with man? Anybody, give me a yes or a no. Okay. God wanted fellowship with man, and Christ revealed that to man. What a joy that is. He came to you and I that you and I might know what God truly wants. And with that light, he brought what? He brought life to man. We're going to look at several verses as we go through here this morning. Most of them are in the book of John. Light reveals within us, when we receive light, we receive revelation. For those of you who know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you know on the day that all of a sudden a light bulb went on in your head and in your heart, and you said, I don't have this. I hear preachers talk about it. I can turn on the radio and hear people talk about it. I have family that talks about it, but I don't have that total joy that I hear other people talking about. I have a good life. I have material possessions. I have friends, but I don't have fulfillment. And that fulfillment came when the light of Christ revealed to you that you needed him in your heart. And every person here today who is a believer, you're only a believer because Christ revealed himself to you. That Christ revealed to you. Remember what Christ told Peter? That big statement over in Matthew. Christ says, who do you say that I am? And Christ says, Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. For man hath not revealed this to you, or flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you. Only from heaven could you know that. That makes you what? It makes you special. Because God chose to reveal to you that Christ is the Son of God. And that light came on in the world. You know, I've talked a little bit about this before. Any of you lived in a place that had cockroaches? Anybody here? Nasty little critters, aren't they? Walk in the room in the kitchen at night, throw in the light, and you hear this. All these little feet running. You're standing there going around the room like this because you know they're going to get on your feet. They're nasty little things. Well, when Christ came in the world, folks, the cockroaches ran. He turned on the light, and that which was evil tried to flee to a dark corner, because evil does not like light. Why do I tell you this? Understand this morning. My preaching has nothing to do with what you're going to learn today. Only through the Holy Spirit of God will you walk out of here knowing anything. That being said, let me tell you, if today as you hear the Word of God explained, you want to run to a dark corner, realize you don't know the light. Because once you know the light, you're drawn to the light. Christians like a moth, not a cockroach. We don't run to the corner, we flutter around that bright light. We're drawn to it. So today I'm just challenging you. If you feel something in your heart says, man, let me get in a corner, don't run to the corner. Walk to the light. John 1:18. We saw here, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. We're going on that vein for a moment. Flip over to John chapter 8. Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Christ is saying to these people this, that if you know me, if you have me, your pathway is illuminated and you're not in darkness. The other way to look at it, Christ is saying, if you have me, you have no desire to walk in darkness. A Christian that has a desire to do what God does. You know, light, if you turn on light in a room, darkness flees. It's an empty thing. But the funny thing in a Christian life, many times darkness and light dwell in the same body. The old man is in darkness. The new man is in light. The new creation has been born again. But because of this world and how we've allowed ourselves to go, we claim Christianity, but we still walk a path of darkness. People see us doing the same thing the world does. Our light does not shine, in other words. What we do, we're walking around in life bumping our heads on the wall. Folks, I can tell you this, my years on this old earth, I see more knots on Christian heads than I see in the lost world. Because we start out in the light, we turn the switch, and boom, we run in the wall. We have no clue what we're doing. We seek truth. We claim Christianity. We say, Lord, you're the most important thing there is in my life because you gave me salvation. And what do? We ignore the light that God put in our life. Thank God, the day I die, I'm judged by the light that is in me and not the darkness. I'm judged because the Son of God revealed to me the need for salvation. Thank God for that, or we'd all go to hell. If we were judged based on the darkness in our lives, folks, not a one of us can make it to heaven. And there's many of you visiting, so I'm not judging you, but I know the people of this church know me. We all allow darkness to get into our lives. We all allow the sin of our past prior to our recreation in God, we let that control us many times. We say, God, you mean so much to me. Lord, I'm going to honor you with my life. Lord, I'm going to devote my time to you. Lord, I'm going to read your word. Lord, I'm going to witness other people. Lord, I'm going to be a shining example in this world. And boy, the first time anything else gets in the way, it all goes down the tubes, doesn't it? All of a sudden, we go to church when it's convenient. Well, yeah, I'll drop by and visit the church. God, you know I'm doing you a favor. We toss a couple of bucks in the offering box. Say, Lord, I know you need this money. You're going to be broke if I don't do it, so you make sure you bless me about this thing. We develop an arrogance. And the sad thing is, see these front rows this morning filled with kids. You know who those kids are watching, folks? You and me. You know that? Every child in this church is watching an adult, watching how we lead our lives, watching our commitment, seeing if what comes out of our mouth is what happens to our feet. Seeing if we walk in the light or if we're playing a game that we put on a Christian face and we get this beautiful glow about our face and boy, the rest of us is just dark. Christ said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He has revealed God to us. He has declared himself the light of this world. Flip over to John chapter 12, verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Jesus said here that he's only going to be with them for a little while. He's the light of the world while he's here. You ever thought about what that means? What happened to the light of the world when Jesus left? What happened to it? Did the switch go out and it was back in darkness? There you go. You are the reflection of the light of Jesus Christ. Flip over to the book of Matthew. I'm running through a lot of verses today, but I have to. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 14 to 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and do what? And glorify, read that with me, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Who was the light of the world when Jesus left? Come on, we already answered it once. You can get it right twice in a row. All right, us. What are we supposed to do with that light? Let it shine. Let it shine. Why? That people might glorify our Father in heaven. You are now the light that reveals God to men by your lives, by the shining in you. By what? By the indwelling Christ, the indwelling light that he left with you. He told his disciples, hey guys, it's a good thing if I leave. Because God's going to send you a great guy called the Holy Ghost. That Holy Spirit's going to come and comfort you and remind you of things. Going to reprove the world of sin. How? By your preaching, your teaching. That Holy Spirit is going to light you up and fire you up. That Holy Spirit is going to make you who you are. But you still got a choice, guys. If you want to stumble around in darkness and beat your head on the wall, you can do that. But if you do that, nobody is going to glorify God in heaven through you and what you do. Isn't it great, folks? I mean, how many times in your life you had somebody tell you, you know what? What you said meant so much and got me through that time. Are you just don't know how much you mean to me and how you've helped me. And most of the time when you hear that, it's because your light was shining. Because what you said came from that light that's within. And that light does what? It reveals God's will to man. How do you, and you know, not every one of you here are ever going to be a preacher. I don't know if any of you are ever going to be a preacher. You should try. The bucks are great, man. Big money in it. But your light that is in your life reveals God's will for others to follow. Do you understand that? The world is watching how you react to situations. They're always watching that in us, folks. Why do you think Satan throws so much junk at us? Because God's saying, the reflection of my glory is in my children. And my children will stand up and not walk in darkness. They will walk in light and they'll follow the path I laid before them. Praise God, this week, some of you know, some of you don't. Senate Bill 77, embryonic stem cell research, was defeated in the state legislature because the light of Christ in the world stood up and said, no more. No more. It's time to stop the garbage. The light reveals the evil of the world. Now, and folks, I know that's a very passionate thing that you're sitting, maybe some of you sitting there saying, Pastor, you know what you're talking about? Folks, I just know this. When human life is destroyed, it's not right, and I'll stand by anything that's against it. But the light of this world is in us, and what we bring to this world is a reflection we put out in this world. And Christ said, you are the light of the world, and if you're lit, why do you walk around with a bushel basket on your head? Folks, do you understand that what he's implying here is that if we're not following what he wants, you go out to Dixon and buy you a bushel of apples, you know, in little baskets they put them in. How would you look walking around with that on your head? Pretty silly, huh? Pretty silly. Well, can you imagine if we come to church, all of us Christians left on Sunday, some of us said, you know, outside the door is a stack of baskets. Some of us said, well, I'm going to do what God wants me to this week, so I don't need a basket. The other one says, yeah, not this week, and they grab a basket. So you see all around town Christians walk around with baskets on their head. Well, we'd call attention to Christianity for sure, huh? We would be noticed. But folks, the fire in us would not be reflecting on the world. That light that Christ instilled in us. Do you know what? We all have those special moments. Those little times when we just feel the presence of God so strong in our lives. And it just you feel like you're glowing, don't you? You just feel that closeness to Him. It may be a prayer that you've prayed and all of a sudden God says, you know what, I've already taken care of it. And you just feel like you glow and you feel like everything's good. And it's that happy, total, contented, peaceful moment in your life when you feel like the world could see you glow if they would look at you. Christ is saying that's what He put in us. Light reveals life. Life is Christ. That's what John said there. The word phos, or zo. Life, the study of life, all of life is encapsulated in Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because He created all things. It says here He came into a world that He created, and the world didn't want anything to do with Him. They didn't know who He was. How many of you got a good dog? Well, not many of you have a good dog, huh? A good dog. I didn't say dog. I said a good dog. How many of you, when you go out and feed your dog, he takes a big old bite out of your hand? None of you? How about he runs over and just knocks you down when he sees you? Well, that does happen, I guess. Yeah, there you go. My golden retriever tries his best. But a dog realizes who the master is, don't they? When you go out to feed them, the old tail's wagging. They're excited. Slobber's running out of their mouth. They're happy. They don't turn their back on the master. They don't bite the one that feeds them in the hand. Yet Christ came into a world He created. A world which should have been totally subservient to Him. And what did the world do? Bit Him on the hand. Bit Him on the hand. The world would not receive their own Creator. That's pretty bad, huh? I mean, it's 2,000 years later. We can look back and say those idiots. Pretty easy for us to say. We could get on a real high stool. We'd all get a stool like that, sit around here and talk about how bad those people were. Folks, it's no different than Christ knocking at your heart's door and you push Him away. He created you. He created every one of you. And if you reject your Creator, you're no different than those who nailed Him on the cross. Not a bit different. In fact, all of us, prior to our salvation, were the purpose of Christ's death. We drove the nails in His hand. We don't want to know light, because light does what? It illuminates darkness. And sometimes we get real attached to the darkness, don't we? We just get, you know, you ever had a situation in your life when you kind of nested, you know? You found you a spot that you could hide in and the world couldn't see you. It might be three pillows on your bed that formed a wall where the monsters couldn't get you. But you had a place where you could hide. You just wanted to draw back in that area and nothing could penetrate. I told you before, when 4 or 5 years ago, whenever it was, my appendix ruptured. They put me on that morphine stuff. Oh, that's good stuff. And I had me a nest in my bed and I had my little button, you know. And I could just drift away the world. But I had a safe place to hide, you know. If I had two appendix, I'd rupture the other one. It was that good. It's a place you hide from the world, and nobody can penetrate that. Well, that's what darkness we try to do with our favorite sins. We want them in a place that we don't want the light to penetrate. Because when God reveals that sin, we're without excuse, aren't we? You know, the good thing about coming to church today is you're going to hear the truth. The bad thing about coming to church today is you're going to hear the truth. When you walk out of here, the light is on, because the Word of God never returns empty. It promises that what you hear out of His Word today has nothing to do with the preacher. It's going to turn the light bulb on. You're going to have to look at the dark areas of your life. You're going to have to push aside the junk that you put in front of God. You have to get out of your nest, because the light reveals it to us. What else did Jesus say about light? What an exciting topic, because when we look at light, the comfort it brings to us, it feels so good. It feels wonderful. Flip back over in John to the 3rd chapter. Verses 19 to 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men, what? Loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Now stop there just a second. Who is the light? What's the Bible telling me if I'm doing evil? Who do I hate? How many in here love Jesus? Okay. That's hard to swallow, huh? That when you do evil, your statement is, I hate Christ. That's what we're telling the world when we do evil. That's tough to take. Because, you know, there's a comfort zone. Well, I go to church, and I look Christian, and I talk Christian. I go home, and I say Christian things with my wife and my kids. And I only slip once in a while. Well, folks, you're never going to stop sinning. But if your lifestyle is not a lifestyle of righteousness committed to Christ, we're saying to the world, I hate what? I hate the light. Who's the light? Jesus Christ. That's hard to take. That's one of the hardest truths in the Bible for me to get a hold of, be honest with you, in my life. It's that when I push aside what God is telling me and do what I want to do, I'm saying, I hate Jesus. That's hard. Neither cometh to light, verse 20 again, neither cometh to light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. What is being said here by Christ is saying this: those who desire to live their own way stay away from Christ. Those who desire to live God's way try to draw nearer and nearer and closer every day of their lives, because they want those things that they do to be made manifest. They want others to see Him. They're proud of what God's instructed them to do. They're excited about the revelation of the good works they do. They don't have to hide. I've asked church this before. You know, if right now you knew without a shadow of a doubt that God was going to come over to your house for lunch today, would you be at church this morning, or would you be home cleaning house? Most of us would have stayed home and tried to hide all the junk that we've got in our houses. And I'm not talking about clutter. I'm talking about the filth that we let permeate our lives. But folks, if you're a Christian, Christ indwells you and lives in your heart, and there's nothing hidden. Why? Because light penetrates darkness. Nothing is hidden. But those who follow darkness hate light. They don't like it. Why? Because it lets the world see who they are. You know, when you became a Christian, you signed up for something. You signed up saying, Lord, I accept the salvation that you brought to me. I want you to change my life. I want to be a part of it. And Lord, I want you to reveal those things that are wrong in my life. Called sanctification. It's a changing process we go in from the moment we're saved. So what happens to us? Well, we get started, we get going, we're doing pretty good, and Christ takes us to that next step. That next step costs us a little more, because He wants us to get something out of our lives. So He shines the light on that thing in our life and reveals it to us, and we're saying, oh God, not that. Not that. You can have anything you want, but leave that alone, Lord. Cheating on my taxes is American way, Lord. It's okay to do that. Or whatever the sin is that's revealed in our lives that Christ expects us to remove. It's a step by step by step process, and we get so angry because it's revealed to us. Question for you. How many of you out here, and I'll make this general numbers because I don't want to embarrass anybody, spend at least 5 hours a week in God's Word? Okay, all right, very good. All right, we'll move it up. How many spend 10? 7.5. All right. How many of you spend at least 4 hours a week in church? Couple of you, 2 or 3 of you. Okay. All right. How many hours a week is Christ on call to you? How many is it? 168 hours? Is that about 7 times 24? Somewhere like that. 168 hours. If the light is available all the time, why do we not expose ourselves to it all of the time? Why are we not struggling to draw closer instead of trying to draw further away? And guys, I see it in church all the time. I see people that know the Lord. He's done so much for them. He's kept their lives straight, and you see them slowly start to drift. God has less and less time in their lives. And they cover it up pretty good. They do some things that fools people. But you know what? When you draw back from the light, you're taking a chance. You're going to bump your head in the wall because you're starting to walk in darkness. Don't think that you're far enough along that you don't need the Word or church to keep the light illuminated in your life. If you think it, you're only fooling one person, that's you. What does he say? Darkness hates light, that the light comes to it. In verse, back over to chapter 1. And the light shineth in darkness, verse 5, in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The word comprehended here is a strong word. It's saying two things. Darkness could not overcome the light, but the darkness could not receive the light. That's what the word comprehended means. It's ketalon is actually the word, I believe, there. And it's saying that the darkness of the world could not overcome the light Christ brought. But it could not receive that light either. In other words, the darkness fled from the light because it could not absorb the light. It could not overcome the light. It's hard to grasp how darkness could not receive light. It's a very hard concept to get on our minds. John's actually telling us here, that the darkness fled because it did not understand the good that was in the light. That just like us, when God first knocks at our heart's door, many times we run away. We flee. We're saying, oh, no, 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 no. I can't do that. And little finally, as time comes, we let Him in the door of our heart and our life changes. Darkness can never overcome light, okay? If we have darkness in our life, we'll never overcome the light that Jesus brought. What I want to get across to you with this is that this world is winding down. We all know it, whether it be 15 minutes or 150 years, I don't know. The world is winding down. Our moral values have fallen. We are becoming less and less attuned to God and more attuned to the desires of man. We see it in the changes of our laws. We see it in our politics. We see it in the lack of morals, the moral bankruptcy in our land. We see this happening. So the world is winding down. Well, darkness is going to try to take over this world. It's called the Antichrist. But the light of Jesus Christ will defeat the Antichrist. The comfort we have is knowing no matter how strong darkness becomes, light will always overcome it. Always overcome it. While I was stationed in England, there was a plane there called, I think it was SR-71. It was a spy plane, brand new guy back then. And you could put it in a hangar, and you could walk in with a flashlight and run into it. It was impossible to see with a light. It was total darkness. It did not reflect any light. The darkness of Satan is like that. If this morning, if you feel right now in your life that, you know, what this guy's saying, yeah, it's coming from the Bible and it might be true, but doesn't necessarily mean it's for me. Understand this, you are reflecting back the light of God. You're not willing to absorb it in your life. Because what I'm telling you this morning is what the Apostle John wrote a long time ago, and that was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. It has nothing to do with me, as I told you earlier. If you're refusing the light, then you are rejecting the light, then you are not willing to absorb the light, because if you absorb the light, your life becomes light. And then you are the light instead of the darkness. Many of us are like that plane in that hangar. The light hits us, but it's not allowed to penetrate. We won't allow it into our lives at that point in time. Verse 6, there was a man sent. Well, we'll skip over the part about John. And by the way, for those of you who are just becoming acquainted with the Bible, the Apostle John wrote this story, but this part about John is about John the Baptist, not himself. But we'll get back to that at a later study. Verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh in the world. In other words, Christ provides salvation to any that will accept him. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This is a very important verse for you to take with you this morning. It says many in verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. There's different terms for power in the Bible. One of those terms is dunamis, which is usually in the Bible. It's a term we get from our word dynamite from. It's an explosive power. But what this power talking about here is exousia, which simply means that authority. So what it's saying here is that to all who received Christ, he gave the authority to become the Son of God. So you can't overpower God. Power is bad interpretation there. But for those who accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, to all of those, he gave the authority to become the sons of God and to believe upon his name. Believe always comes with a preposition, doesn't it? Anywhere in the Bible you're running that word believe, there's a preposition there. In, into, of, is always around the word believe. And the word believe is the Greek word pistuo, which is to rely upon or depend upon. So what this verse says and why it's so important is for you to understand this. For all that accept that light and allows that light into their life, Christ gives them the authority to be the sons of God. And that kindred with Christ, that joint heir, that adoption into the family of God means to you that if you have believed on or if you rely upon Jesus Christ for your salvation, and that's the only thing you rely upon, then you are going to enter into heaven with God above. That's all that verse says. It's very simple. For those who believe on the name of Jesus Christ, who rely upon the name, not just believe, but rely upon the name of Jesus Christ, Christ himself has given them the authority to approach God Almighty. That's beautiful, isn't it? You know how many thousands of years nobody could approach God except some guy with a funny robe called a high priest? Now you and I can walk into the presence of God Almighty in the Holy of Holies, and we can fall on our knees and say, I belong to you because your son died for me. What a joy that is. We're washed in the blood. The song Brian sang a while ago, have thine own way, Lord. The chorus says, draw me nearer, draw me nearer. Folks, if you want to have light in your life, quit running to darkness. Quit finding the excuses to not be at church or to barely be at church. Quit running to those things of the world you know and run to the light. Let him draw you in. Let him illuminate the things in your life that you need to get out. Because within the illumination of the darkness is the revelation of God. It's showing us what God wants us to do. Many here would be surprised at what God really wants you to do. You lived your life following what other people have told you, or some behavior pattern that's been developed in you, or you've got all the excuses in the world, oh, I just don't have time, baloney. We all have the time to walk to the light. We do. If we don't blame not having time. Blame your selfishness. Blame yourself and say, I enjoy the darkness more. The light came to reveal God's will. The light brings life. There is no life in darkness. There's not. If you die in darkness, you go to hell. If you die with the light of the belief of Jesus Christ in your life, you go to heaven. Okay? None of you are ever going to be perfect until God takes you. One day you will be perfect. But while you're on this earth, you're not. Your job is to be drawn to the light as the moth is to the flame. If you're living a cockroach life, you better get it together, folks, because it's not going to take you anywhere but destruction. What number, Brian? Please stand, open your folders, page 5. There's some folders in the pews there. Please stand. Page 5, number 8 in there, we'll sing in just a moment. This morning, if God's touched your heart, maybe He said to you, hey, aren't you tired of bumping your head? Aren't you ready to get in the light? Aren't you ready to see where you're going? Aren't you ready to put away the silliness that you slipped into and got away from me? If He's told you that today, then folks, I'm going to challenge you. Don't be afraid, because it's very bright in here, to walk up and get on your knees and say, God, get me straight. Maybe there's some of you here today that don't know Him. Maybe you've never taken the time to say, Jesus, come light up my life. But this morning you feel the heat of that light on your heart, and you know you need it. Then this morning I challenge you, I'll be at the back of the church. You come take my hand. Whatever God is saying to you today, don't walk out of here, because if you ignore it, then you're just running back to darkness. The light came and suffered that you might see. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, thank You for Your Word, the truth of Your Word, the revelation of Your Word, that You are the Word, that You are the light, that You are life, Father. We depend on that. We count on that. We have no other hope but that. And this morning, for those who are hoping on something else, Lord, please strike down those hopes and let them know it's time. It's just time to be drawn to the light. Forgive us of our sins, O Father. In Thy name we pray. Amen.